And last month, RCMP delivered an update on missing and murdered Aboriginal women in Canada. And after that, a number of discussions centered around the problems of family and domestic violence in Aboriginal communities. But CBC's Andrew Curiata says there's other factors that shouldn't be ignored. He's published an analysis piece at cbc.ca/aboriginal, our website that's looking at a lot of Aboriginal issues. And he joins me this morning to talk about some of what he's written about. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
All right, so first of all, tell me what prompted you to look at these numbers.
Okay, so this was an update on a report that came out last year taking a look at missing and murdered Aboriginal women in Canada. The focus then was on the years 1980 to 2012. So last month, what the RCMP were doing was adding and updating the numbers from 2013 and 2014, and they held a news conference to talk about those. So in those 2 years, RCMP investigated 32 new cases of female Aboriginal homicides. And one of the points they highlighted was the fact that every time one of those murders was solved, the victim knew their killer. And I don't know about you, but when I hear the term knew your killer, I think of someone like a friend, a family member, maybe a coworker. But then there was a question asked about sex trade workers. If a woman is working in the sex trade industry and one of her clients kills her, is she considered to have known her killer? And the answer to that was yes. And that completely reframed things in my mind of what it means that these women knew their killers. And so I wanted to take a deeper look at what those numbers actually show.
Okay, so why are Aboriginal women, though, still more likely to be victims of family violence than non-Aboriginal women? That's the findings, isn't it?
Well, yeah, the findings are that Aboriginal women are more likely to be victims of all violence, period, than other women. Aboriginal women make up just around 4% of the overall female population in Canada, but account for 25% of the homicide victims. And not all of those are by family. If you look at the numbers that the RCMP had from 1980 to 2012, where they did a little bit more in-depth analysis, spouses, family members, or what's defined as other intimates, are involved in 62% of female Aboriginal homicides. But then if you take a look at those same categories, family members, spouses, and intimates, and you apply them to non-Aboriginal women, that number actually goes up to 74%. So yes, Aboriginal women are being killed by family members, but so too are basically all women. And if you have a murdered woman, the odds of family being involved decrease if the victim is Aboriginal, and the odds of a stranger or acquaintance being responsible increase. So you can really frame these numbers in different ways.
So you talked about the term acquaintance earlier. What does that mean?
Well, yeah, because like I said, RCMP were saying that Aboriginal women knew their killer in all of the solved cases in 2013 and 2014. And after that, of course, there's headlines in various media outlets focusing on how Aboriginal women know their killer. But it turns out it doesn't take much to actually know someone under this definition. Straight from the report, an acquaintance is, quote, close friends, neighbors, authority figures, business relationships, criminal relationships, and casual acquaintances. A person who's known to the victim that does not fit into other acquaintance categories. So when you think about it that way, there's lots of people that you might not know very well, but would be considered known to you. The receptionist that you see, your dentist on a regular basis, right. Or if you're working with youth workers, or somebody who lives on the same street as you, and you wave to them when you take out your garbage. Or, like I said earlier, cases where sex trade workers know people they come into contact with in that life. So it's a very broad definition of sort of know your killer.
Any other sort of examples that come to mind about this?
Well, yeah, let's take one from right here in Prince George. Cody Legibokov, he's a convicted killer of four different women. Two of them were Aboriginal. Both Cynthia Moss and Natasha Montgomery had been involved in street life. Legibokov came into contact with them. The courts heard he used them to get drugs. And then he violently murdered them and got rid of their bodies. And under this definition, these women knew their killer. Another high-profile case is the killing of Loretta Saunders in Nova Scotia. She was subletting her apartment to Blake Leggett. The courts heard that Leggett was short on the money for rent, so when Saunders came to collect her money, he attacked her, choked her, slammed her head on the floor until she stopped moving, and then got rid of the body. Again, Saunders knew Leggett, but this is a far cry, I think, from the way you know a spouse or a family member. So again, I feel like it's really important to contextualize what we're talking about when we see those headlines or we hear politicians or police say that the women knew their killer.
Why is that so important?
Well, I mean, we hear about it all the time on our show here. There are a lot of people in this country who would like to see the federal government order an inquiry into the cases of missing and murdered Aboriginal women, why it's happening. The Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, has said that his government have made it clear they're not interested in doing this. And last year, Aboriginal Affairs Minister Bernard Valcourt said that it's up to Aboriginal communities to take on more responsibility for missing and murdered women. He said there's a lack of respect for women on reserves, sort of, again, reframing this discussion around the idea that it's family violence, it's community violence, it's people who know these women. Meanwhile, we have the RCMP also focusing on family violence. And I think that if we focus solely on that, or we just hear that family violence knew their killer, we run the risk of ignoring other factors. And again, I don't want to think that it's not part of the discussion. There's certainly enough family violence to go around, but there's much more to it than that. Aboriginal women are dying at the hands of strangers or near strangers at rates far higher than the rest of the population. And if we're going to talk about this in a way that actually gets to the heart of the reasons behind this, I do think it's important to have a fuller understanding of what we're talking about and what's happening.
And indeed we do now. Thank you, Andrews. Thank you so much for bringing that those numbers to our attention this morning.
Thank you.
And that's CBC's Andrew Curiata. And you can read his piece on murdered and missing Aboriginal women online. You can go to the website cbc.ca/aboriginal. That's cbc.ca/aboriginal. You can also find a link on our Twitter page, and that's @DaybreakNorth. You can find it there. And it's some good reading there for sure.